Hello and welcome to the next episode of the podcast Discipleship in Challenging Times. My name is Peter Morden and I'm from Cornerstone Baptist Church in Leeds. We continue to reflect on the doctrine of God. We continue actually to think about the sovereignty of God. And we are looking today at Ephesians chapter 1 under the heading Chosen. We come to our good and gracious and sovereign God in prayer. Lord, we thank you that you have promised to meet with us when we come to your word. We worship you, the speaking God who speaks by your word and by your spirit into our lives. Speak today, O Lord, we pray. Speak into our hearts, speak into our lives. Words of life, words of challenge, words of encouragement, words that gladden our hearts. Lord, whatever words you want to speak, whatever we need. Sometimes we think we need something, but actually it's something else that we need to hear. It's some other area of our life that we need to be working on. Lord, we open ourselves to your sovereign reign and rule, believing, trusting, knowing that you are a good and gracious God. Again, we say in prayer, speak to us, O God. In Jesus' name, amen. We read together from Ephesians chapter 1, and I'm going to begin at verse 3 and run through to verse 14. In the New International Version of the Bible that I'm reading from, this is headed Spiritual Blessings in Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world, to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. Well, what an extraordinary reading that is. Ephesians has been described as the Alps of the New Testament. It's like the Alpine mountain range, because you see mountain peak after mountain peak that speaks of the wonderful character of God, of his nature, and of his ways. It leaves us breathless as we take in this extraordinary vista of the wonders of God. And so just here in chapter 1, we see one mountain peak after one mountain peak. We read of his grace. We read of the cross. We read of the glory of God, of salvation, of the coming of the Holy Spirit. It's this breathtaking view, this breathtaking vista. And as we take it in, we are indeed breathless. There is no breath left in us because of the glory and the wonder of what we survey. Someone reading the verses that I've just read through in the original Greek might indeed have been breathless, because Paul is so carried away that in the Greek there is no obvious full stop. There is no pause. He just goes on and on. The words, the phrases, the concepts, the ideas just come tumbling out. And there is this huge sentence that our English translators have tidied up. They've added punctuation to make it read better. But Paul is just carried away, and we should be carried away as well. So many things that we can comment on in these extraordinary verses, but we continue to think for one more week of the sovereignty of God. And I want to think about the fact that we have been chosen as Christian people by God. This is a further dimension and an important dimension of God's sovereignty. We see this in verses 4 and 5, and we see it again in verse 11. Just want to remind us of verses 4 and 5. Look back at the text and see what they say. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will. If you believe and trust in Jesus, why are you a Christian? Well, according to these verses, you're a Christian because God chose you to have faith before the creation of the world, before the very foundations of the world were laid. He predestined you to be adopted as his sons. Picking up on other biblical language, theologians talk about election. God's choice before the beginning of time, before the creation of the world. People have been chosen by God to have faith in him. Now, people struggle with this sometimes. You may be someone who is struggling with what is being said here. You may think, well, it just makes us out to be a puppet in the hands of God. We don't have freedom. We don't have free will. And so people struggle with this. And I think in many ways, that's an entirely legitimate struggle to have. And the good news for all of us is that the Bible also affirms his love for all and the necessity of faith. We put these verses in Ephesians alongside perhaps the most famous verse in the whole of the Bible, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that no one should perish, but that all should trust in God, that all should trust in him for eternal life. His will is not that any should perish." And so we see here balance, divine sovereignty and human responsibility. We are free people. We have freedom of choice. The Bible affirms both. C.H. Spurgeon puts it this way in his autobiography. He talks about these different sets of scriptures being like two parallel lines on a page. One line represents the verses like here in Ephesians, election, predestination, chosen before the foundations of the world were laid. And the other line represents texts like John 3:16, texts like "Whosoever will may come" in Revelation 22, texts that say he is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come and receive eternal life. Those two texts are parallel lines on a page, and we look at them and we just can't see how they could possibly meet, how they could possibly cohere. They seem to be in contradiction. But Spurgeon says that if a mathematician came along with their mathematical instruments and they measured the bottom of what seemed to be the parallel line and then they measured the top, they would see that very, very, very slightly those lines were converging. And so, says Spurgeon, somewhere in the heart and mind of God, those two lines meet. We can't see how God can be sovereign and humans can be free. We can't see how God can both choose us before the foundations of the world are laid, but also urge us to have faith and say that he's not willing that any should perish. Our finite human minds cannot fully grasp this, but we recognize that we're called to believe, we're called to embrace, and we trust in the mystery and the sovereignty of God. And here's the thing, that God's sovereignty, the fact that God has chosen us, is not something to be preached or proclaimed to unbelievers. It's something for believers to encourage them and help them to know that they are deeply, deeply loved by God. In John Bunyan's The Pilgrim's Progress, the pilgrim Christian goes through the wicket gate that symbolizes his conversion. And a later writer has reflected on the wicket gate, that moment of conversion, and he says that above the gate as we approach it is the text, "Whosoever will may come." That's the open invitation for all, every person, every man Jack, every woman to come and taste and see that God is good. No one is excluded from the gracious invitation of the gospel. Whosoever will may come. But then when that person has gone through the gate and they're walking on, they turn their head round and they look back and they see that the text that is written over the other side of the gate is "Chosen before the foundations of the world were laid." That gets very, very close, I think, to what the Bible says about election and predestination. It is for believers to encourage them. And here's the second thing I've said. Here's the thing already. There's one thing. Here's another one. That election is always, always for our comfort and our encouragement in mission. As God calls his Old Testament people, Israel, he says, "You are an elect nation." And then in text after text, in book after book, he says, "I have elected you for a purpose, that my good news might sound out among all the nations." You are chosen. Rejoice in that fact. But you're not chosen just to sit on your hands and do nothing. You are chosen because I have work for you to do. Good work, gospel work, gracious work in sounding out the good news of me. I've already begun to transpose that into a New Testament gospel key. And we can do that even more because we see that as God's people, we are chosen, as Peter puts it. We are holy, we are dearly loved, but we are chosen for a purpose, that we might declare the wonders of God among the nations. You are chosen. Rejoice in that. Perhaps you've had a hard life, a tough life. Perhaps life has dealt you a really bad hand. This is how you're thinking, and you may well be absolutely right. As a pastor, I weep for some of the things that people have had to face, some of the issues that people have to grapple with. It's so hard. and life is unfair. You may have been rejected by your parents. You may have suffered pain and loneliness and isolation and much besides. Know this, that God loves you and God has chosen you. You are adopted into his family. If that's all you can receive today, then receive that and be glad. But for those who are able to receive a little bit more, know that we are chosen for a purpose. Like the people of Israel, we are an elect nation, that we might declare the wonders of God, that we might be a missionary people. We are so privileged to be chosen. What a wonderful, glorious dimension of God's sovereignty this is. But with privilege comes responsibility. With privilege comes responsibility. As a privileged people, may we sound out the gospel among the nations, among those that we know, and may we do so joyfully, gladly, because of the glory and the wonder of God's choice of us. Let's pray together. Lord, if we had chosen people to follow the Lord Jesus, then I think we would have chosen, well, I wouldn't have chosen myself, let's put it that way. I would have chosen someone more reliable, someone more loving, someone more passionate, more committed. I know that there have been times in my life when my passion for you has grown cold, when my commitment has been shaky, when I have gone away from your path. Lord, I'm sorry. And Lord, I pray for all of those who are listening who feel the same way. And we say, Lord, we are sorry. You have chosen us, and there are times when we've let you down. Thank you for your free and full forgiveness. Thank you for your amazing grace to us in Jesus. Thank you that you pick us up and give us a fresh start, free and full forgiveness in Jesus. And Lord, we do thank you at the end of the day that you have chosen us. We rejoice that you love us. We rejoice that you couldn't love us any more than you already do. We exult in that. We are full of joy and wonder. We are happy in you. As those who have gone through the wicket gate, as those who have seen the words, whosoever will may come, we now look at the words, chosen before the foundations of the world were laid, and we praise you, and we recognize that we are called for a purpose, that with privilege, with great privilege, comes responsibility. Help us to discharge that responsibility today, we pray. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.